The Bible, to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. When I turn to refer to a passage of scripture like this, I tell people that's where all the clean pages are in your Bible. You know why it's a clean page? You know where it is, you don't thumb through it. 1 Kings, chapter number 20. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this day and for the blessing to declare the word of God. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit Himself would be our teacher and our guide to speak to our hearts. Pray and glory unto yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 23. And the servant of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their room, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto them, unto their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against them. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks or kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valley. Therefore will I deliver all this great number, this multitude, into thine hands, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The theme of the message tonight is the God of the valleys. The God of the valleys. I don't know how familiar you are with the incident linked with the text. But perhaps some of you will remember that when Ahab was king of Israel, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, fought against him with him and invaded Israel with a great army. Although Ahab was a wicked king and had intervened in behalf of Israel and given Israel a mighty victory in the hill country, in trying to evaluate their defeat, the Syrians came to this conclusion: their God is God of the hills and not the God of the valley. In the Song of Solomon, we read that in the verse it says, concerning, I'm the lily of the valleys, not single. Many valleys. In the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen, there are many, many valleys. We often sing songs like, living in the mountain, higher ground. We may visit these places occasionally, but I don't know of anybody that lives there. We live in the valleys. Is God just the God of the hills? Or is He the God of the valleys? And we're going to look at several valleys. This is a challenge from the devil's crowd. Do you just sing, serve God joyfully on the mountaintop? Or can you serve Him and rejoice in the valleys? Thank God He is the God of the valleys. He says, I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The word valley is not singular, it's plural. There are many, many valleys in the Christian life. Look with me, who would, at Psalm 84, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 84, verses 5 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Who passeth through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rains also fill the pool. Now you can look at a Bible atlas and a map anywhere you want to, but you will never find the place called Baca. What does Baca mean? It means weeping. The lady that just sang this song blessed my heart, because when my wife passed back in November, I started singing that song. Does Jesus care? Oh yes, He cares. My heart is touched with His heart is touched with my grief. One person that says, does Jesus care when the dearest on earth has gone to be with the Lord? Does He care? Yes, He cares. No one cares like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in the valley of weeping, God cares. He does. Some of us have passed through it already. Some of you may even be in that valley tonight. But I want to let you know that He is the God of the valleys as well as the God of the hills. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. I think a lot of times we sing song, but we don't realize the depth of the words that we're singing. We just sing them. Yes? He is the God of the valley of Baca. Jesus is the lily of the valley of Baca. Those who have met Jesus in this valley have found that He can make it a well of blessing. Verse 5, verse 6. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pool. You see, God desires our good and nothing else but good. Even Satan cannot touch one hair on our head unless God allows it. Look with me further. In the book of Hosea. So, wow, I don't even know where that is. Well, it's in there. It's there. Hosea. It's in there. I haven't lost it. Hosea, chapter number 2. I'm waiting for you to find it. Verse 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, I will woo her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. You see, the valley of Achor, what's that talking about? Well, look at Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter number 7. The children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. For the sake of time, Achan, God had said, you don't take anything for yourself. What you take it for me. Well, what Achan did, he found a wedge of gold and some Babylon in his garment, and dig a hole in his tent and put it in the ground. And when the men when they went up to Ai, they were bitterly defeated. And Joshua wondered why. He fell on his face. God said, get up. Bring the men down. I'm going to show you who did it. It was Achan. He saw that Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and put it in his tent. The Lord knew where it was. But as a result of his coveting that, his whole family was killed. They stoned, put to death. And they burned up the residue. What's the valley of Achor? God has said that he would make the valley of Achor a valley of hope. What's that talking about? The result of your sin causes you to stop. You don't progress with God until you and I get that thing right. Now, nobody will probably know about it but you and God. And God knows all about it. There's no need for you to say, I wonder what's wrong with me. I can't seem to get a prayer through. You don't have to say that. You know what's wrong. The heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who knows it? God knows it. You can't hide from God. That will stop your progress as a child of God. That will stop you from growing in the things of the Lord because of sin. God is holy. He can't look on sin. But you and I are told what to do with our sin. Confess it and forsake it. And beloved, if that's too heavy for you to understand, I'll put it in simple childlike language. Admit it and quit it. You understand that? Sure you do. Stop it. Stop it. You can stop it. A friend of mine, I led him to the Lord. He's with the Lord now. His name's Richard. Nobody called him Dick but me. We were kids when we grew up together. We was mean to death. I almost killed him when we were growing up. We got in a fight. I knocked him down. He knocked me down. I knocked him down. He knocked me down. I knocked him down one more time. And I got tired, so I picked up a bowl as big as I could and threw it down and hit him in his head. And he rolled out of the way just in time. It didn't kill him. Years later, I led him to the Lord. And Rich got saved. Nobody called him Dick but me. Hey, Dick. He loved the fish. And I loved the fish, too. Well, he'd bring them to me. The one thing about bringing in a fish, he didn't bring them to me clean. I had to clean them things. I didn't like to. Because God, the Lord said, I'll make you fishes of men. I tell you what you do. You clean him. You catch him, but let him clean them. Don't you clean them, okay? How many of you like fish? You do? I do too. How many of you love to clean fish, raise your hand. You're sick. You need trouble. You need some help. He came by the house and brought me some fish. And I knew it was something was bothering him. So we sat at the table, we started to talk. And he started talking about smoking cigarettes. And I knew he did. He didn't have to tell me, because he stunk. Somebody said, you don't smoke cigarettes. And somebody that does smoke cigarettes, I'm like, don't they stink? Boy, you can smell it's in their clothes, in their skin, in their hair. And then I hate to see somebody pick up somebody's little baby and they've been smoking a cigarette and kiss that baby. We started talking about that. Smoking cigarettes. I said, Nick, do you have any money? He said, yeah. I said, let me have it. How much you got? He said, all I got is $20. I said, good, give it to me. He reached in his pocket, he gave it to me. We were in the kitchen. And I went to the gas stove, and that old blue thing jumped up, and I stuck that $20 bill in the fire. He said, what are you doing? You burned up my money. I said, what'd you say? He said, you burned up my money. I said, what'd you say? He said, I put it out. He said, you burned up my money. I said, whose money is it? He said, it's God's. I said, who gave you the strength to earn that money? He said, God. I said, do you pray before you eat? He said, oh, yeah. I said, do you pray before you light a cigarette? He said, no. I said, why? He said, I can't. I said, good. You got no business doing it. If you can't ask God to bless it, you got no business doing it. He didn't quit right away. Later on in the year, he had 4 or 5 heart attacks. Guess what? He quit. He didn't smoke anymore. You see what I'm talking about? He paid for his sin and he knew it. I'm not saying that'll happen to you. I don't know. I know what God will do if you have a problem. Lady said one time, said, anybody who will smoke something that tastes as good as tobacco ought to die and go to hell. You know what her problem was? She dipped the stuff. She didn't smoke it. She dipped snuff. Can you imagine her kissing somebody with a mouthful of snuff? The Valley of Achor. God says he'll make it a valley of hope. The Valley of Achor for a door of hope. God often allows us to have trouble to get us to turn to him. In Psalm 50, in verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 50 and verse 15. I dare say, there's some of you tonight that may be in the valley of trouble. But God will make it the door of hope. Only God can take a disaster and turn it into a great victory. A seemingly defeat. And God can turn it around. That's the thing that makes it so unique about our God. He won't leave you in a situation like that. And if he does, he'll leave you there for a period of time. And he's the one that determines how long you stay there. You know there's a gift in the Bible that nobody wants? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, if you would, please. Have you heard these people talking about the gifts of the Spirit? Well, here's a gift. Right here. Philippians chapter 1. Here's a gift in the Bible that nobody wants. They never ask for it. Verse 29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him," here it is, "but also to suffer for his sake." It is given. If something's given to you, it's a gift. Amen? And don't you think that God has deserted you because you have the gift of suffering, you've gone through suffering? The Apostle Paul never asked the Lord for that gift there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to see this. And verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure." Look at this. "Through the abundance of the revelation, there was given," there you go, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, for the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He got a gift from God, but he didn't want it. He never asked God for it, but it was given to him. For what purpose? To keep him from being exalted above measure. And I submit to you tonight that trials and tests and afflictions and infirmities are not punitive. They are therapeutic. And the churches teach you something. My focus will tell me about learning things. And some of the things I learned the hard way. But you know what? I never forgot those lessons. Even as a child of God, with infirmities in the flesh, I'm learning. There's certain things that you just can't do because of infirmities in the flesh. You know, so I climb up and down the steps with that cane. I ain't running. My mind might want to run it, but my body won't. I've got arthritis real bad. It goes all the way back from when I was in the Korean War. I got frostbite real bad. And now it's taking its toll on me. And I ain't in no hurry like I used to be 30 or 40 years ago. I'm not jumping over in a high hurdle. You won't find me running in the decathlon or the triathlon. You won't find me. You won't even find me riding a bicycle out there. I can't do it. I'm limited. Hey, God would limit you. There's some of you, you're not as old as I am, but you're limited. There's certain things that you can't do. You're in the valley Huh? Is he the God that heals only, or the God of the valley? He's right there in the valley. In the valley of Baraka. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Look at this, if you would, please. I didn't mean to say chapter 2. I meant to say chapter 20. It was the children of Israel again. The children of Ammon, Moab, verse 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 1. And the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdom of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, of famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade them when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy presence, which thou hast given us to inherit." Look at his prayer. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But look at this. But our eyes are upon thee." And you know what? God gave them great victory. And they gave God the praise for the great victory. Have you ever told the Lord, you get in a situation, "Lord, there's nothing I can do against this situation. But my eyes are on you. And I know that you will deliver according to your will." And guess what? He does just that. You're in the valley when you do this. But he's the God of the valley as well as the God of the hills. And he gives victory. All we have to do, just don't panic. Trust him. Trust him. People say, "I believe in God." No, it's not just mental assent, acknowledging that God exists. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You know the rest of it, don't you? "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. You know what waiting will do? Teach you patience. Patience. Amen. You know what they call the people in the hospital? Patience. Why? They're all waiting for something. Some are waiting for surgery. Some are waiting to recover. Some are waiting to go home. Some are waiting to deliver a baby. Some are waiting to die. But they got one thing in common. Patience. Remember when you were a little kid, wanted to go to school, 6 years old? Got a little primer, you couldn't even read. Got a little paper, book on this yard plate. I'm going to school. What are you going to do? I'm going to school. And then when you get to first grade, oh man, you think you're hot stuff, right? And then you get to junior high, lock your dock, and hit you with the atom bomb, could they? You wait to go to junior high. Then you wait to go to high school. Then you wait to graduate. Then you wait to go to vocational school or trade school or whatever. Then you wait to go to college. And then you wait to meet Mr. Wright or Miss Wright, whoever, to get married. Then you wait when you get married. You wait for your first child. Then you wait for your second child, the third child. Then you wish to God you were 6 years old all over again. But it don't work like that. You learn things from your children. You learn from your husband or from your wife. But you learn. I didn't realize how dumb I really was. The Lord took my wife. She's gone. And the stuff in the house I can't even find. I've been there all the time. I walk around looking for it. Where in the world is it? Well, right where she put it. Well, heaven knows where it is. Hey, honey, where'd you put that stuff? Too late. I can't ask her. She's gone. I learned how much I loved her. And she knew that I loved my children, knew that I loved them all. Some things that I bought for her before she died. I spent $1,000 for a ring for her. I saw that ring, it was beautiful. I loved it. We were living in Memphis, Tennessee, and we moved from Memphis back to Virginia. And I told the guy at the jewelry store, look, man, I don't have $1,000, but I paid little by little so I could pay for the ring. And then I finally paid for the ring. I said, look, don't give me the ring. I'm going to give you my daughter's address. I don't want you to mail it to her. He said, well, yeah, don't give it to me. I'm not going to take it from you. And he did. He mailed it. And I went to my oldest daughter. It came, and my daughter said, honey, I said, let me know when the thing comes. So she called me, Dad, and the ring's here. I said, okay, we'll be over tonight. We went over to the house that night. And we were in the kitchen laughing. We were laughing and talking. And she sneaked it to me. And I said, honey, this is for you. She went, what is this? I said, open it and take a look. It's yours. Where'd you get it? Ain't it like a woman? I said, I robbed the jewelry store and stole it, okay? She knew better than that. She said, it's for me. I said, I'm going to give it to another woman. What's wrong with you? You know how you women are? You come with some crazy stuff sometimes. And he said, how much you pay for it? I said, why do you have to know all that stuff? Just take it. I don't deserve it. I said, okay, I'll take it and send it back and get my money back. No, I'll keep it. She died. She never wore that ring. You know what she said? Honey, I don't want to wear this ring to church that we go to, small churches, and people are supporting us as their missionaries. I don't want anybody to see that on my hand. She never wore it. You know what? I gave it to my daughter. I said, honey, you wouldn't feel sorry if Daddy gave me this ring, would you? She said, no, Daddy. About 3 or 4 months before she passed, I bought a brand new watch, beautiful watch. I loved it. She never wore that. I gave that to my other daughter. Would you like to have this. For me, Dad? Yeah. I want you to wear it. It was a gift that I gave to your mother, but she never wore it. And when they came, they went in the house and took all of her clothes. I gave them to them. There's one dress. I said, my daughter, oldest daughter, I want you to have this. Because that's the one that I love the most with her having it on. And do me a favor, don't wear it anytime soon. I don't want to see you with it on. Wait a while and then you wear it. Hey, I mentioned the valley of Baca, of weeping. Yeah. That's where I've been. I've been there. I'm still in it to a degree. The things that remind me of her. We were in the car, and I had the front door open. My daughter said, "Dad," my daughter tried, "Daddy, shut the door." You know what I said? "But I'm waiting for your mother." And I shut the door and drove off. The valley of weeping. You know, in places like that, the nearness of the God of God is so real you can almost reach out and touch it. In a place like that. He allows things to happen to us. Look with me at Psalm 119, okay? And I think it's verse number 67. Look at this. Psalm 119. And verse number 67. I'm looking. Yeah, okay. I need to turn over again. Yeah, verse 65. Look at what it says here. It says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Look at what he says here. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Look at verse 71. Look what he said. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." What did he say? "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." It's good for me. I don't like it, but it's good. Mom and Dad and Grandma, everybody beat me when I was growing up. I was just like that. Even my dad used to tell me, "This hurts me worse than it does you. I gotta need some help." Yeah, but it hurts me in a different place than it does you. But you know what? I learned from it. I didn't like it. But you know why he did it? Because he loved me. Why does God? God does the same thing. I don't need to get bent out of shape. Say, "Lord, but why are you doing this to me, Lord? Why don't you shut up and let him work?" What did you say? You ought to mark these verses and go back and read them from time to time when you have a pity party. How many of you ever had a pity party? Let's see. Come on, be honest. Come on. Raise your hand. You ever had a pity party? Guess who shows up? Nobody but you and the devil. Nobody comes to your little pity party but you and the devil. Oh, Lord, why have I done this? What have I done to deserve this? Why don't you just shut your fat face and say, Lord, thank you that you care for me. And you won't let me do but certain things. You won't let me go for certain places. It's because you love me. And we sing songs. I want to be like Jesus. Are you sure? Read the Bible again. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Don't worry about it. You'll come out all right. If you get down in the mouth, don't worry about it. Remember Jonah? He was down in the mouth, but he came out all right, didn't he? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Beloved, lastly, now I'm going to tell you this. Psalm 23. You know what it says, but we're going to look at it anyway. Psalm 23. Verse number 4. Well, let's look at the first verse. You know the most important word in that psalm? Have you ever considered what's the most important word in that psalm? Well, if you haven't, I'll tell you. It's the fourth word in verse 1. What does that say? What? Say it again.
My Lord.
The Lord is
my.
Holy. Did you hear what you said? The Lord is my. You know, He likes us to sheep. You know, sheep are dumb. I'm serious. Some of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. There's a man in Tennessee that worked in a slaughterhouse, and he killed hog, cattle, and he got saved in the slaughterhouse. They bought in some sheep to slaughter them. And God broke his heart. He got a sheep to slaughter him. And the sheep just laid over in him. And he cut his throat. That convicted his heart. He had heard the 23rd Psalm. Time and time again. The Lord is my shepherd. And he says, yea, though I walk, didn't say I live, I dwell there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death is no terror to the believer. Are you listening? Death has already been conquered. There's going to come a time that death is going to die. Death and hell will be cast into the lake. There'll be no more dying. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more suffering. No more sickness. No more snow to shovel. Yes. God is the God of the valleys. And don't you ever forget that. Regardless of what you and I go through, you know that song? No, never alone. Would you play that for me? Where's the lady? I ain't asking you, brother. You can't play nothing. You can't even play marbles. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Maybe you're in a valley tonight. And you've been threatened because you've been afflicted. In the valley of weeping, in the valley of Baraka, in the valley of blessing, whatever. He promised never. You find it? Okay, stand. Let's sing that together.